See everyone this morning. Appreciate the prayers on my behalf, and I also pray that the things that we have to study this morning are a benefit to you and uplifting to you and a help to you as servants of the Most High God. We're going to be talking about a topic this morning that is very important for us to understand as far as Christianity goes. A lot of times, when people do things that are wrong, when a wrong is committed, especially if it's if we consider it to be something that is very, very wrong or very bad, it is our mindset that we want them to get what's coming to them. We want them to be punished. We want them to pay for what they've done. But sadly, when it's us that has done the wrong, we don't want that punishment, do we? We don't want to be punished for the things that we've done wrong. We want leniency. We want mercy. In the world that we live in today, many people are in the hanging business. They want to hang people for the things that they've done. They would rather hang someone for what they have done or whatever they consider to be wrong in their lives than to hang on to them and try to save them and grant them mercy and try to help them. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we need to learn to demonstrate mercy towards others, just as we have received mercy from God. Instead of hanging one another or crucifying one another, we need to learn to be merciful. If we are truly spiritual people, as Christ would have us to be, then we will try to restore people to a right relationship with Jesus rather than try to hang them or write them off, or wish that they would just get their punishment. Now, Jacob, he's not here this morning, but Jacob had a very good lesson on Jonah. And I'm not going to go over that. I had that in my lesson, but I'm not going to go over that. But I urge you to go and to the website and listen to that particular message from Jacob on Wednesday night. Because Jonah had a hard time with mercy. Jonah had a really hard time with mercy. He was just exactly what we're talking about here. He didn't want leniency for Nineveh. He wanted them to pay for what they had done. And we need to be merciful people as Jesus was merciful. Jesus, of course, is our ultimate example of demonstrating love and mercy. And we'll look at that. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, and that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as he thought, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And they which heard it began to being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, I want to say one thing about these people, these men that brought this woman. The one thing that we can take from them, that we can follow, is that their conscience bothered them. Our consciences need to bother us too, don't they? We need to realize the sin that's in our lives, the wrong that's in our lives, before we start casting stones. Yes, Jesus had to remind them, yes, you have sinned. And we need to remind ourselves, yes, we have wrong. And they, beginning at the eldest, even to the youngest, they left one by one, their consciences realizing that, you know what, I've done wrong too. It's very important, this act of mercy, isn't it? They couldn't condemn this woman because they too were guilty. And they had received mercy and were obligated at that point to give mercy. And in the end, Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus demonstrated mercy where others wanted to hang this woman, didn't they? We who are in Christ need to learn to demonstrate that mercy, that love, that forgiveness. And instead of criticizing people, and we need, as humans, can be so very unkind and cruel. But we need to demonstrate mercy as God has given mercy to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, it's a very good thing that God is rich in mercy, isn't it? If he showed mercy the way that I showed mercy, I would have no hope. I would have no hope of salvation. It is only because God is rich in mercy that any of us could be saved. And in view of the fact that God is so rich in mercy, I want to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want to see what we find here and what we're supposed to do as God's children according to mercy. Again, we want to think about mercy when we go through these verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, he talks about three things here, but before we talk about those three things that we need to be doing according to the will of God, we need to look at the last statement here, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it mean to prove something? Have you ever proved anything? For some of us, think way back when you were in high school, maybe some of us not so far back, maybe some of you studied this in college, but when you prove something, what do you have? You have a hypothesis, and then in that hypothesis you develop a theory, And in that theory, you say, okay, well, I'm going to test this theory by the factors that I have developed in this theory. I'm going to test them, and then I'm hoping to get the outcome that I desire. And that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? It's what it says here, to prove that which is acceptable and perfect in the will of God. So we use those things in God's Word in our lives to prove that that's what's right and true. Because people can look at us and say, yeah, he's using the Word of God, he's testing those things, he's doing those things, and he's getting the outcome that he needs. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're getting the output that is the perfect and will of God, which is acceptable. Now, there's three things that he mentions here. And we're going to look at the first one, become a living sacrifice. We'll look at the first one first. Become a living sacrifice. The second, don't give in to the world. And third, change our thinking to his thinking. Change our thinking to his thinking. But let's look at becoming a living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices given. But those sacrifices were killed, weren't they? They were dead sacrifices. They were burnt offerings. They were blood sacrifices. Everything that they did, the sacrifices were killed. But God here, or Jesus, or in Romans here, it says that we should be living sacrifices. We're supposed to give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. What are you living for? In your life, what is your goal and your ambition in life? What are you living for? Are you living for you and yourself? Selfish ambitions, your own pleasure? Or are we living a life to please the Lord? Living a life to please the Lord is what living sacrifices do. Those are people that are pleasing to God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now he's talking about something completely different here, but I want you to draw in on to live is Christ. We have life through Christ Jesus. He has come to give us life, and life more abundantly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Have you ever thought about why you do the things you do? I work out in the shop. I do a lot of woodworking stuff. I'm working on some things right now. I'm building a guitar. And you know what? I'm somewhat pleased with the things that I've come up with, or the things that I've done, but I'm learning as I go. I'm sad to say that, you know what? I'm not building that. I've not once thought that, you know, I'm building this thing so that God could be glorified. Not once. When you go to work, have you ever thought about, you know, I'm going to work, so I, you know, I'm trying to make a living, and I'm trying to provide for my family, and so on and so forth. I need to pay the bills. Have you ever thought, you know what, I'm going to work because I want to glorify God. I want people to see the glory of God in me. When I eat a meal, have you ever thought, you know what, I'm going to eat this meal so that people can see the glory of God? Whatever you do, whatever you can think of, whatever you do, have you ever thought, you know what? I'm doing this so people can see the glory of God. And if it's not that, then if it's not for that, then what's it for? And when we demonstrate mercy, guess what happens? Just as we have received mercy, when we offer mercy, it shows the glory of God. These couple of scriptures and many other tell us how we give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And basically that means that we give Him our lives, we give Him our all, we give everything to Him, we do things for Him, to His glory. Every day we're faced with the decisions that we have to make, where we have to choose. Are we going to do things His way, or are we going to be selfish? Do we want the glory? Do we give God the glory? And we should always choose to give Him the glory. We should always choose His way. And that's the only way that we'll bring Him glory instead of glory to ourselves, is by doing this. And this means that we need to choose purposefully to obey Him in His word. The second thing that we see is we don't give in to the world. We don't give in to the world. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, if ye are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we see here that we need not give in to the world or the worldly ways, the ways of the world. What do we talk about being the ways of the world? I want them to get what they deserve. They have wronged me. I want them to get what they deserve. I want them punished. I want them to pay for it. The world is a killer of mercy, isn't it? The world is a killer of our faith. And we must be lights in this dark world. Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. We need to be lights in this world to shine forth the glory of God. And how do we do that? We can offer mercy. We can offer mercy. The third thing that he talks about is changing our thinking. Changing our thinking to his thinking. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Instead of being conformists to the world, we need to be transformists. In other words, instead of conforming to their ways, we need to convert them to God's ways. We need to transform them to God's ways. And in order to do that, we have to let the glory of God shine through us. And if we're doing no more than condemning people for the wrong that they've done and not offering mercy, guess what? We've got exactly what they've got. We've conformed to their ways. We can't, the problem is that we cannot transform anyone until we've transformed ourselves. And we've transformed ourselves to the mind of God. Till we've transformed our thinking to His thinking. The key to all action in life is the mind. The things that we think about, the things that we ponder on, the things that we hold dear in our heart, those things are the things that come out, aren't they? And if we hold mercy in our hearts, guess what will come out? Mercy. If we hold judgment in our hearts, guess what's going to come out? Judgment. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." If you think evil towards someone else, guess what? That's what you are. "Eat, drink, saith he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee." Have you ever had someone in your house and you said, "You know what, come on in, let's have dinner or whatever," but you're not really excited that they're there? You really wish they were somewhere else? Because they're just a nuisance to you. Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." Matthew chapter 16, verse 23 says, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Savorest. What's your favorite food? Maybe dessert. What's your favorite dessert? Those things that you just, that is so good, and you savor every minute of it. Is that the word of God for you? Do you savor it? Or do we savor the things of men? Say, "Oh yeah, that's so good." When we don't keep in mind, or we don't keep in our minds the things of God, we don't savor those things of the will of God, we get off track, don't we? We betray Jesus, just like Peter did. And basically what we're saying is, "I don't know him," just like Peter did. Now this incident here, Jesus was talking about his own death, but Peter rebuked him and said, "Never, this won't happen to you. This can't happen to you." And Peter was on the wrong side of the fence, wasn't he? He was savoring the things of men, the thinking of the world. And this very well can happen to us as well if we don't keep in mind the things that God reveals to us in His Scriptures and savor those things. Linger on it. Make it pleasing to us. Make His will pleasing to us. Changing our thinking to His thinking. And of course, Peter was corrected by Jesus. And he said, you're thinking like men. You're not thinking like me. I want you to be a living sacrifice for God, pleasing to Him. And that's what needs to dominate our hearts and minds. That's what needs to dominate those things in our hearts. We have to allow the Scripture to change our thinking and our ways to God's way, thinking God's way and savoring on those things. I'm going to put a couple of the verses that we've looked at before in conclusion. I'm not going to read those again. We've read them already. But in view of the fact that God is extremely merciful toward us, there are many things that we should do that the world has no clue on how to do. And one of those is offer mercy. You see, we show mercy because mercy has been given to us by the grace of God. Where those of the world are out to hang each other and crucify one another for the things and the faults that they think are in other people's lives, we would show compassion and mercy, realizing that we have an opportunity to show the glory of God to them. That there's a way of an escape for them. That Jesus came and died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day in order that you might have hope. And we can offer them that mercy. We can offer them that forgiveness. We try to restore people to a right relationship with Christ rather than cast them away as unworthy sinners, hoping that they get what they deserve. Because the fact of the matter is, if we all got what we deserve, we'd all be lost. We are all unworthy sinners. But yet, God showed compassion towards us and offered us His Son. The gospel of Christ is for everyone. And is the chance that everyone can be saved. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's offer mercy. For we've received mercy. That's all I have for this morning. We're going to offer a song of invitation here in a minute. Maybe you've been struggling with mercy in your life. Maybe you're looking to change your thinking to God's thinking. Maybe you've struggled by way of living, giving yourself a living sacrifice. We're here to help you and bear one another's burdens, as it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. We can help you. We can study with you. We can pray for you. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ, there is mercy for you. Believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Confess Him before men. Repent of your sins. And be obedient and baptized. Be obedient in baptism today. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that mercy will be administered to you through the grace of God. If there be either of either case, we'd ask you to come forward as we